This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, we have chapter 37 that we have just arrived at yesterday, so we're going to get right into that. King Jehoiakim died on the way to Babylon, just like Jeremiah told and foretold that was going to happen. That's in 2 Chronicles 36:6, and on his and his son Jehoiachin was appointed king, but Jehoiachin was taken captive to Babylon 3 months later. Nebuchadnezzar had then appointed Zedekiah as his vassal in Judah. And King Zedekiah and his officials did not want to listen to Jeremiah's words, but they wanted the blessings of his prayers. They wanted a superficial religion, just like everybody else. Let's get right into the study. Verse 1, now Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had made king in the land of Judah, reigned as king in place of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord, which he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Yet King Zedekiah sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Please pray for the pray to the Lord God on our behalf." They wanted the prayers. They knew that Jeremiah could get a hold of God. He was a prophet, true prophet. Now, Jeremiah was still coming in and going out among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's army had set out from Egypt. And when the Chaldeans, who had been besieging Jerusalem, heard the report about them, they lifted the siege from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, thus you are to say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come out for your assistance, is going to return to its own land of Egypt. The Chaldeans will also return and fight against this city, and they will capture it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely go away from us, for they will not go." They're not going away from you. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen because God said it, and that's exactly how it's going to take place. Now, people didn't believe it because they didn't want to believe it, and they wanted somebody to prophesy good things, just like everybody does. Everybody wants someone to prophesy good things, and they'll pay for it. People will pay to have somebody prophesy good things to them, regardless. It doesn't matter if they're true or not. They will pay people to prophesy good things for them and good things about them. Mark that down in your calendar, because it always happens. People want to pay for good things to happen, And they'll give their offerings to somebody that tickles their ears. Over and over and over again, they will do this. Now, the Chaldeans also return and fight in this city, and they will capture it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans are going to go away, because they're not. For even if you had defeated the entire army, the Chaldeans who were fighting against you, and there were only wounded men left among them, each man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire. Why? Because God said it. Because God said it, and it's about to happen. Don't fool yourself by thinking it's not going to happen, because it will. It will happen. So, this is something that God promised through the mouth of Jeremiah, the prophet. And he spoke it, and it's going to come to pass. So, get ready for it, is what he's saying. Now, it happened when the army of the Chaldeans had lifted the siege from Jerusalem, because of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out from Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin in order to take possession of some property there among the people. Remember, he bought some property as a faith, a type of faith, by faith. He bought it because God said that you'd come back and take possession of it. Some property there among the people. While he was at the gate of Benjamin, the captain of the guard, whose name was Iriha, the son of Shilemiah, the son of Hananiah, was there. And he arrested Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, you are going over to the Chaldeans. But Jeremiah said, a lie? That's a lie. I am not going over to the Chaldeans, yet he would not listen to them. He wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. So Iriha arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. Then the officials were angry at Jeremiah and beat him. This is a prophet of God. This is how they treated him. And they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan the scribe, which they had made into a prison. For Jeremiah had come into the dungeon, that is, the vaulted cell, and Jeremiah stayed there many days. Now, King Zedekiah sent and took him out. And in his palace, the king secretly asked him and said, is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yeah, there is, if you want to hear it. Then he said, you will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon. This is the word from the Lord. Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, in what way have I sinned against you, or against your servants, or against this people, for that matter, that you have put me in prison? Where then are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? Where's those prophets that prophesied falsely? Where'd they go? What'd that get you? How much did you pay them to prophesy the lie? I'd like to know. Where'd they go? You know, Jeremiah is asking some good questions here. Where'd they go? Where are they at now? But now, please listen, O my Lord, the king. Please let my petition come before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, that I may not die there. I don't want to die in prison, Jeremiah says. Then King Zedekiah gave commandment, and they committed Jeremiah to the court of the guardhouse and gave him a loaf of bread daily from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guardhouse. And that's where he remained for undisclosed amount of time so far, so I don't know how long that was. Zedekiah, King Zedekiah and his officials, they didn't want to listen to Jeremiah's words. They just wanted the blessings and his prayers and everything else. But when Nebuchadnezzar actually besieged Jerusalem in 589 BC, Pharaoh Hophra marched against him at Zedekiah's invitation. Jerusalem looked to Egypt for the help, in spite of Jeremiah's warnings about. But the Egyptians were no help. For as soon as the Babylonians turned on them, they retreated. They ran off. Jeremiah's warnings had been actually absolutely correct. And Zedekiah teetered between surrender and resistance, too frightened and weak to exercise authority. He asked Jeremiah to come secretly to the palace, perhaps hoping for some better news from God. Zedekiah was desperate. He wanted to hear a word from the Lord, but he feared the political ramifications of being caught talking to Jeremiah. And this is why he actually put him in a different place and gave him a loaf of bread. Other than that, that's exactly what happened and took place. The prophet of God tried to warn them, tried to give them everything, the news of what was going on, but they continued to give him a problem. Nobody wanted to be associated with Jeremiah. Why? Because he told the truth. A lot of times, people will not want to be associated with you because you tell the truth. If you tell the truth, people are not going to want to be associated with you. Why? Because the truth hurts sometimes. The faithful are the wounds of a friend. Remember that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm not saying don't use tact and be a loudmouth blowhard, but no, use tact and use wisdom and use not necessarily apologetic words, but say the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Don't ever apologize for God's truth, and don't apologize because to other religions, I see it every single day. People are apologizing to every religion in the book, mostly Islam, apologizing for their behavior, apologizing for their pedophilia, apologizing for their violence and their, they apologize for these people when they are downright devils, the biggest part of them. And we may think that they're good people, a religion of peace, but it's not. You follow Islam to its conclusion, you're going to be taken over, and you're going to die if you don't give up your faith in Christ. That's just a matter of fact. And we're allowing this into our country, and it's going to come back to haunt us. You watch and see. It's going to come back and haunt us. If we don't wise up and throw this stuff out, because it's like a cancer, it's eating a hole in the soul of and the fabric of our country, this Islam. It's eating a hole. It's a cancer eating away at the fabric of our nation. And if we don't wake up, it's going to come back to haunt us. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and write to us, please. Let us know you're listening. We got to hear from you. KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.